Kia ora and welcome to Airman's Podcast, episode 256. Today is Friday, June 10, 2011. There's nothing going on. Okay, goodbye. I'm kidding. There's always stuff going on, but nothing earth-shattering, no big news today. I just wanted to catch up on a few things that I've talked about in the past, a couple things going on, some things that Nigel mentioned, and also because I didn't want to go an entire week without doing a podcast because then I kind of forget where I'm at. So there you go. Now, first, some updates and some things. I'm sure I mentioned in the past about how there was the New Zealand master franchise for the Shell petrol stations was owned by a New Zealand company and that that was about to expire. And I'm sure I am, but I don't know that for certain because I certainly meant to talk about it, but I may have forgotten. And I can't check because it's not in the show notes and I'd have to go back and listen to all the old episodes. And quite frankly, I'm not going to do that. But the master franchise was expiring, and this company had the right to renew, or they could go basically independent, pick a new name, and that's what they've decided to do. So they've already started rebranding as Zed, which is, of course, the last letter of the alphabet, and their signs just have a big kind of stylized Zorro-like Zed on them. And the commercials that they've been running are along the same lines as the thing, as some of the things I've been talking about recently, about it's a New Zealand-owned company keeping the profits in New Zealand, investing in New Zealand and New Zealanders. And I think this is fascinating. Actually, the commercials are enough to make me want to go slightly out of my way to patronize their stations instead of the competition. But one of the reasons why this is important is because of the flow-on effects of them being a New Zealand company, the fact that keeping the money here in New Zealand leads to more investment, more jobs, and an expanding economy. But one of the things I haven't often talked about is that when the companies are foreign-owned and the profits are shipped off overseas, that becomes a currency obligation against the country because it has to be converted from New Zealand dollars into whatever, British pounds, euros, U.S. dollars, whatever. And that means that that's an obligation against the economy. It is part of what usually goes into national debt. National debt isn't necessarily just money that the government owes to bankers overseas or what have you. It's also currency obligations like that. And very often politicians aren't really clear about what they're talking about when they talk about national debt. So that's one of the things that affects it. So I just thought it was really interesting that here's this company coming along that is kind of doing what I was talking about. And I'll be watching and see what they do. And when they actually start rebranding, maybe I'll post some photos of what these new Zed stations look like. But to me, it's interesting anyway. Now, we do have other petrol stations here in New Zealand, of course. We've got Mobil. I don't shop there because when Exxon bought Mobil, and I know I've talked about this before, they canceled the domestic partnership benefits for GLBT employees. And it's one thing to be an anti-gay company, but it's another to go out of your way to be anti-gay as Exxon did when it took over Mobil. So Exxon Mobil gets none of my money. There's also Caltex, which is, I think it's now divested all of its actual retail stations to franchisees and is now just a distribution company, I'm pretty sure. They're owned by Chevron, ultimately. And there's another chain, BP, which most Americans have probably heard of. And I think that's our biggest station, although I wouldn't swear to it, I'm pretty sure. And they're also in the process of revamping their shops at their petrol stations because that's where they make the money. They make very little money on the petrol itself. It's something like a 3% margin or something. And because most of the cost is either taxes, half the cost is taxes, and the other half is pretty much is the cost of the actual petrol. So they make very little money on the petrol that they sell. So those are just some recent developments that are directly related to other topics that I've talked about. And also in the news, there was a bit of a controversy this weekend. Now, I have in the past mentioned this ultra-fundamentalist church here called Destiny, which is run by a TV preacher called Brian Tanaki, who has appointed himself bishop. He insists people call him that now. Of course, I never do, naturally. Well, they had their annual conference this weekend, and a bunch of Māori politicians were invited to go and talk to them. Okay, where do I start? I have a major problem with this. This isn't, technically speaking, an election update, but it is kind of, because there is a guy who resigned from Parliament. He was a MP for the Māori Party in the Māori electorate of Te Tai Tokerau, which is from Auckland North, basically. And he resigned and forced a special election so that he could come back as leader of his party if he's elected. And so that's kind of the backdrop to this. Now, Brian Tamaki is, of course, Māori, and he has a large Māori and Pacific Islander base in his church. So it's in that sense, it's kind of a fit. He is extremely misogynistic and homophobic, however. And it's basically a cult. It's really not, you really can't say it's not a cult. It's all about him personally and making him wealthy. And so it's not a good look for politicians to be going there, but they did. The co-leader of the Māori Party, Peter Sharples, was there. Tohenare for the National Party, because the person they were going to send wasn't available at the last minute. Shane Jones from the Labour Party was there, and Hone Harawira, who's the leader of the Mana Party and the one who resigned to spark this whole election. The Greens, however, were not invited. Their co-leader is Materia Ture, who is Māori, and she was apparently not invited. Now, I saw a episode of, what the heck do they call it? Anyway, it's John Campbell's show on TV3, and the spokesperson, or whatever the hell he is, for Destiny Church said that she was invited. And she said, no, I wasn't. I wasn't invited. And she said, well, you were invited. Maybe one of your underlings didn't pass it on. And the host of the show said, well, did you actually look? Did you find out if, you know, this was actually, if you'd received it? And she said, yes, we did look thoroughly, and did not receive an invitation. And then she turned to him and basically tried to give him out, saying perhaps it was lost in the mail, knowing full well that they never invited her because they don't like women in power, and they don't like the Greens in particular. Tamaki once referred to them as pagans. I don't know why, but he did. He referred to them as pagans because they're left of center, and he, of course, is far right. So that's sort of the backdrop. She was not invited, and if she had been, she would have delivered some home truths. She would have challenged them on their misogyny and their homophobia, which would not have been very popular with them. So they probably deliberately didn't invite the Greens. The others were mostly pandering, I thought. None of them challenged any of the unsavory aspects of this church. And I thought that Shane Jones of the Labour Party was particularly despicable. He's been touted sometimes as a future leader for the party. And he said that not everyone in the Labour Party is hostile to God. And I thought this was an incredibly offensive thing to say on several levels. First of all, the idea that just because people dislike Tamaki personally or his church, that means they're automatically anti-God, as if Tamaki and his church are the only form of Christianity there is. That's offensive. It's also offensive for him to say that people who are atheist or agnostic are hostile to God when they're not. I mean, how can you be hostile to something you don't even think exists? So on so many levels, he was offensive in saying that. But I thought he was dead wrong to be there, the Labour Party in particular, because they're never going to support the Labour Party. They're only going to support the National Party, maybe the Māori Party, because they have a lot of social conservatives in their ranks. But they'll never back Labour. So what was the point of groveling in front of this noted homophobe and sexist pig to say, in the hopes of getting what, 2 or 3 votes out of the whole lot? Destiny Church represents maybe 0.5 of 1%. I mean, when they had their own independent party, it was called Destiny New Zealand, they got 0.75% of the vote in a conservative year. And in the next election, they got 0.52%, I think it was, or something like that. Sorry, 0.67, 0.52, something like that. Anyway, I'm going to put links to a blog post that have the exact percentages. And the point is, speaking of points, that they just don't control any votes. They're not a force to be reckoned with. There's no reason to go and pander to these noted homophobes. Now, I'm not the only one saying this. There are plenty of people, not just on the left either, who are saying this. A lot of Māori have spoken out forcefully against these Māori politicians going and talking to Destiny New Zealand's annual conference. And in the blog post that I'm going to link to in the show notes, I've included links from some of that Māori commentary, so you can go check out their sites to see what they say. But this was a really dumb move, and I really don't think they should have done it. But what's done is done. You know, can't go back. But it turns out that what it's always been about for Brian is money. And he claimed that they were discriminated against, they didn't get money. And what the real issue is that for certain government programs, they couldn't get another organization to partner with them because the other organizations wouldn't have anything to do with their blatant homophobia and sexism. And also, there is the issue that they cannot violate the Bill of Rights Act in delivering their services. And since they're anti-gay, it'd be very difficult in some cases for them to deliver services that would comply with the Bill of Rights Act. So, you know, it's a bit dicey there. And I don't actually think that they should be getting any money at all, because there are plenty of other charities that can do the same work and they don't carry the political baggage that Destiny Church does. I'm actually uncomfortable with churches in general getting money for a lot of this stuff that could be done by secular organizations as well without the added factor of potentially proselytizing, which should never be done on the taxpayers' money, I don't think. It turns out that New Zealand is actually over-charitized. It has a lot of charities per head of population, more than Australia, more than the UK. And I find it hard to believe that there aren't non-religious or at least non-sectarian alternatives to creeps like Destiny. But, you know, we shall see. I don't think we've heard the last of this whole controversy, though, to be honest. So that's an update and something new from the news. Now, on his show on Sunday, I should say that we had a really good launch for Nigel's show on Sunday and his new internet radio channel, farpointradio.com. And we had a lot of fun. The chat room worked perfectly, didn't crash or cause any issues. And it was a lot of fun. We enjoyed everybody who was there. And I would name them, except that I can't remember them. I didn't write it down. And I don't want to forget anybody. So please forgive me for not singling you all out. But you, those of you who listen to this show, it was a lot of fun. And we certainly enjoyed our time with you. Nigel mentioned in passing that he may occasionally do the odd impromptu show, and he may, but he is planning on doing the show every other week as he did before. One of the issues he used to have in the old show, as you may remember if you listened to it, was that sometimes he couldn't break into the stream to start his show. And so that won't be an issue anymore, and because he controls everything himself, that's why he might occasionally do the extra show if he feels like it. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Watch my Twitter feed, watch his Twitter feed, which is Farpoint Radio, I think is his. Mine's Amerinz, A-M-E-R-I-N-Z, and we'll certainly announce it. But that's the plan at this stage. And he's also working with a couple of people who are going to be doing shows on farpointradio.com. And anyone is welcome to do that, obviously. And one of the things is, and he hasn't stressed this, well, I was going to say enough, but that's not quite the right word. One of the things is that you don't need to do a live show to do a show on farpointradio.com. You can pre-record it and just, you know, get the file to him and so on. If you're interested in doing that, by all means, get in touch with him. It's something that podcasters can do, non-podcasters, whatever. The whole point is that because the station is licensed to play music, you can do a music show if you want to. And originally, Nigel did mention that I was going to be doing a show for him, and I am, but I'm not sure what it's going to be now. Originally, I was going to do an expat show with interviews and stories about expatness and stuff, but I don't know now. My original concept was I was going to do it as an actual radio show that I could get on Access Radio here in New Zealand and maybe other radio stations elsewhere, but I'm not so sure now that that's the best use because it is licensed for music. So I might do a music show instead. I just don't know. But one of the things I thought was interesting about this whole process is the whole licensing. Now, I said before that Nigel used to have a low-power FM station, and that's very easy to do in New Zealand. You just get a transmitter, buy the necessary copyright licenses, and start broadcasting. If you don't play music, you don't even need the licensing. The frequencies are available first come, first served, and that's all there is to it. You just start transmitting. If nobody's using the frequency, you're welcome to use it. And if you give up the frequency and somebody else starts, well, then you've lost it. So it pays to keep going. But if you do want to play music, you can get a relatively inexpensive license. It's a couple hundred dollars a year. And you are still allowed to make up to 10,000 New Zealand dollars in the year, which obviously would cover your expenses. It's the same for internet radio, having nothing to do with terrestrial radio, but just the internet radio. The situation is pretty much identical. And you can get a license for terrestrial radio and internet radio. I don't know if it's double, you know, like one of each license, or if there's a special deal or what, but that is also available. He thought about doing that, but then decided that he'd rather just go the internet radio route because he'd already made connections around the world with other people, and he thought that would work better. But one of the things I found fascinating in this whole process is that New Zealand also offers a license for podcasts. to allow podcasters to include recorded music in their shows. I personally find it a bit expensive. It's the same as it is for the internet radio or low power FM licenses. Except they do $50 per quarter. I don't know if they do an annual license or not. And there are restrictions on you have to talk as well as play music, and you cannot put in the show notes. I think this is weird. You cannot put in the show notes precisely when the song is playing. So you can't say, like, wonderful song at 13 minutes, 10 seconds. And I don't really know why, except I think that it must be so that people can't go directly to the song to, you know, cut it out for their private collection or something. I don't know. But that's just dumb because it's so easy to do with software that anybody could have free or what have you, that I don't see the point in that. But nevertheless, that's one of the restrictions. Now, I'm not doing that, by the way. I'm not going to get a license because neither of my shows, I should say, are music shows. And to have a license just to be able to play the occasional song is a bit over the top, I think. Now, there are times when I wish that I did have a license because I would have liked to have been able to play a song that that illustrated what I was talking about, or just to share some Kiwi music. But I don't think it's gonna that makes any sense. Now, it's theoretically possible that that might be the kind of show I might do for Nigel, but I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? But I'll certainly keep you up to date with that. And we're not quite ready to get to that point yet, anyway. So nothing's been decided. Now, on his show, Nigel mentioned that we're having some renovations done to the house for the deck. And that's actually where the name of this episode comes from, because it's become rather large. Now, I'm not going to bore you with all the details about how the structure and everything, but here's how it works. You come toward our front door, and stretching out to your left to the corner of the house is decking, and then it goes around the corner towards the back. And there are branch sliders and so on that open out, so you have the indoor-outdoor flow. But it's quite large. From the front of the house to the front of the deck was, easily 3 meters, maybe a bit more, maybe four. No, 3 meters anyway. Probably four. And on the side of the house, it's a bit less, 2 or 3 meters. And they had roofing over both of them, you know, the plastic corrugated plastic clear stuff. And on the side of the house, it went all the way out to the edge, which is quite high at the backmost part of the deck. It's like 2 stories up practically, because we're on a sloping section, remember. At the front, the part that went along the front of the house was only maybe a meter and a half out from the house, so it wasn't very big. It just basically covered the door, the sliding door and the windows in the living room, and it wasn't quite good enough. So what we decided we were going to do was extend the roof on the front of the house all the way out to the end of the existing deck to make this huge covered area, and that we were going to deck over the entire front part of the house. A lot of Americans will call that a yard. In New Zealand, they generally will call it a garden, but it's whatever you want to call it, you know, the area outside our house. And that's where the spa pool is, so it's going to be on a much more stable structure, the spa pool is. And we're also raising the fences to give us more privacy. And so that's what he was talking about, all of this revamping and so on. They've been working on it the past couple of weeks, weather permitting. And the roofing part is all done, so the roof goes all the way out now. It's a huge space. And they have most of the bearers and so on for the new decking laid. They just have a few more to do, and then they can actually start covering it and then do the fences, and they're done. So maybe another week, perhaps. And it's been this ongoing thing, and I have to keep the dogs inside all day when the work is going on, of course. But not today, because today was a rainy day, and it was too icky. So so nothing happened today. And it's rainy today. I mean, now windy today as well. So the rain has been driven in, which is actually good because I can see how far the rain can reach when the wind is unfavorable. So I'm thinking we might rig up some sort of, like a plastic curtain. I don't know what you call it, but, you know, there's these things that they use on tents sometimes to shield from cafes. Very often we'll have them for their outdoor areas to shield from wind and from rain. I was thinking maybe we could get something like that. In case we're out there and it is a rainy day, but we've already got, say, a party, a family event or something scheduled, then, you know, we can still go ahead with it even if it's raining. But I don't know. At any rate, it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to dramatically increase our usable space. And that was what this was all about. Because we, as you know, we were, Nigel mentioned this as well, we were looking at other houses, And we decided not to do that, that we're going to stay here and we're going to pay off this mortgage and then reassess in maybe 5 years probably. But this house doesn't entirely meet our needs. And part of the problem is that the outdoor space was okay. It wasn't fully usable and it wasn't very private. So we're changing all of that. We're redoing the front of the house, the outdoor space, to make it zero maintenance, or virtually zero maintenance, to make it much more private than it was and more usable and an extension of the house, and to make it more of what we want this house to be. Now, there are a few other bits and pieces that we're probably going to be changing, and if I don't mention it, Nigel probably will. But that's in the future. That's down the road a little bit. This is what we're doing right now, and it's the biggest and arguably most expensive of the projects that we're talking about doing. And so that's why we're doing it now, before we just sort of hunker down and get the house paid off. And so that's our major doings at the moment. But this week as well, 2 days ago, which was Wednesday, yeah, I took the dogs in to be groomed. And it's the first time that I've ever taken Jake to a groomer. We've always trimmed him ourselves. And I don't know if Sunny's ever been to a groomer or not. This may have been her first time as well. But we thought we'd give it a go. And now, her fur had become really, really matted, because when she came to us, she hadn't had her actual spring clipping yet. And, of course, now her winter coat was coming in. It was getting even worse. So she's like a big old woolly sheep with a big old blanket on her. But now she looks all better. She's all shorn and looks pretty. And, of course, they are what is the show art for this episode. Yeah. That's actually pretty much everything. Last week was production week. I was much better prepared than I had been before. But, unfortunately, I lost a day due to circumstances that had nothing to do with me this time. So it ended up taking about as long as it normally does. But that's it. And I will be back next week. I don't know when. I don't know precisely what day or anything like that. But I will be back next week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you then. I mean, next week. Bye.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com. Or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.